Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members. Good morning and welcome. I want to declare this portfolio committee meeting open, and I want to directly observe that our phone is switched off for the smooth functioning and operation of this important meeting. Mine is closed already. Sorry, I think you are speculating the administrative panel. Are there any apologies by some honorable members or some officials that are supposed to be here for?
Thank you, Chair. That when we dealing with the problem, I know we are fortified with the budget because of the budget, the preceding budget of the state. But when are we going to discuss our term budget post our term program post the EPC?
I did not receive any apologies on my side. Yeah, thank you very much. I've been advised that perhaps it will be important that people introduce themselves and the institution they come from, except the honorable member. I would imagine that in the very first meeting we did introduce ourselves, indicated our parties, etc., etc. But I think the official, because people who also come from other institutions, it would be better that they introduce themselves. So, to start with you, who are you?
Thank you, Chair. And my name is Lubabalo Frigola, the Country Secretary.
From the Parliamentary Monitoring Group. All the people from the Southern African Union Office. From the Southern African Union Office. Basically, it's a lead organization that will teach the population within the region and some contributing countries. And we work with the Parliamentary Committee for over the 15 years.
My name is Tawanda Sachikonye. I work for the Southern African Liaison Office, SALO, CELO. And basically, we are a regional organization based in South Africa, working on peace and conflict issues from our mid-southern or mid-southern region, but also to deal with other continental issues. We've been working with colonists for the last 2 years through colonial engagement, basically trying to address countries where they were going to really...
Don't go there.
I don't know what we're doing.
No, what I will recommend should happen is that people who are attending LAPA and are next to the attendance register should put something there. So they can put their information there. Sit down. Thank you very much. Now we know who are system. Also?
Silo.
Oh, for the demo card over here. Like it's on silo.
Silo.
Okay, so what do you call that?
Really,
thank
you. I'm also here with Kriha. I'm also from Silo, and I'm here with Nasser Gekas
for
NGC PPT.
Yeah.
Yes. Honorable members,
name is David Matala, and I'm the researcher for the program.
Kyo?
Hello,
Kyo?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Honourable Member, I am going to give just a few three line remarks to foreground the discussion that we're going to have with regard to the consideration of today's budget. I want to indicate that you would remember that 20 years ago, that was 1994, our founding mothers and fathers of this democracy might have said one day in the portfolio committee of the International Relations and Cooperation, I suspect the name was different. It was Foreign Affairs. Or no cooperation, no relations. Foreign Affairs, he reminds me. And these, our predecessors, had to consider whether they would approve the budget of that department so that it could execute a mandate probably for the reintegration of South Africa into the international family of nations. You remember only very well that over a long period there has been a diplomatic isolation of our country, such that we only had nations in about 34 countries by 1994. And it was very ironic that some of the members of parliament who were sitting in the Portfolio Committee on Foreign Affairs or members of parliament generally, are the people who actually had been part of the campaign to isolate South Africa 20 years ago. Now, these were the men and women, once again, who were charged with the responsibility for the reintegration of South Africa into the international community of nations. And today, as we celebrate 20 years of democracy, but in the context of this portfolio committee and in the context of this department, we're saying that it has been an amazing feat of achievement by our country. That today from 34 countries to which we were affiliated, we had missions, we today have 125. And we have 150 countries and organizations that have accredited South Africa. So once again, it means that South Africa is an important player in many fronts, in the economies of the world, the America, Europe, Africa, Asia, etc. And colleagues, I'm sure do remember that during this period, 1999, it was the period of the reintegration of South Africa into the world under the presidency of Nelson Mandela. In the next phase, the phase under the presidency of Thabo Mbeki saw the slight emphasis, not change of foreign policy, but slight emphasis into the African continent. The other day, Dr. Zondi spoke about a pan-African nation orientation of South Africa. And I think there was a lot of emphasis on that. That's why we saw the change from the organization of African Unity to the African Union, the establishment in the year 2000 of the African Renaissance Fund, but also the concept of the African Renaissance gained currency during this period. President Mbeki was not the first person to speak about the African Renaissance. It has been spoken about by many other leaders, whether you get the conference, in the Washington Conference of 1945 or the Bandung Conference 1955. the issue of the regeneration of Africa. So, and the issue here, I'm just saying, it found more concrete aspects, especially during that time, and as a result, was also the establishment of the African Institute. The Kotalam with the Sweden. Yeah. So the last period, of course, was the administration of President Zuma. So you see, there was a reintegrating of South Africa into the continent, into the world. There was the pan-African approach under the presidents of Thabo Mbeki. And under the presidents of Zuma, the emphasis has been economic diplomacy. They talk about the trade, increasing trade within the African continent and the strengthening of South relations, particularly with regard to trade. That's why you have preached about Israel. They talk about the infrastructure development, particularly within the African continent, with regard to roads, with regard to rail, with regard to harbors, with regard to airports, so that there is good connectivity among African states. You then increase intra-African trade and connectivity in that sense. And lastly, of course, the Department of Foreign, the Department of International Relations and Cooperation is assisting South Africa to be a player in an environment that is not necessarily stable. That environment is characterized by a lot of shifts, whether they are political, whether they are economic, but of course all countries are in pursuit of self-interest. There is a shift towards the developing economy, particularly Africa. And it is very important that we know that our department is a player in a space like that. Now, as we will be considering this budget today, we are going to say, well, the department will give you this much, we are going to tell Parliament that we get this 5 months, so that we continue with the tradition of where we started off as a sovereign state, democratic state in 1994. The point I was making was that what we will be doing today is very important as members of Parliament. It is what our founding fathers, now I must say, as mother in 1994. And 20 years later, or 10 years later again, South Africa might say, well, we've been a democracy for 8 years, what have we done? What kind of a chair are we in the international family of nations? It will depend how far our country would have traveled. With these few words, I now want to invite members to look at the report that we discussed last week. It's a draft report.
The point of order, Chairperson,
yes.
That has not yet been adopted.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yes, there is an agenda before us, colleagues. One, an opening and welcome, my apologies. We inserted an item on introducing ourselves just before the adoption of the agenda. There is the agenda before us. Can I hear the house? Kalapa followed by Kalapa.
Thank you, Chair. I would propose adoption of the agenda. Just to also note and mention with my earlier intervention, when I was indicating that I understand that we are preoccupied with the process of the budget. However, we haven't yet dealt with our term program. And there are quite a lot of pertinent issues that are happening, especially when it comes to the African agenda. And we have not yet, when can we do that? After the budgetary processes or in between? Because I think we must have a midterm program where we are going to say
what is our next point of departure post the budget for debate. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the issue is for Honorable Halafa is valid. But as you know, Chairperson, that we are tied now with the issue of the budget problem. And then as you know, there very well that I think by next week we will not be able to meet as the committee because the extended party committee will be meeting from morning through the evening. So immediately after we finish that process, I think that the first port of call is the issue to come back to the committee and then call the department and then deal with all the branches of the department and then we roll out the program immediately after that. Because it's true that there are a lot of things which are happening. But I think that we must do this thing from an informed position. So immediately after the extended party committee and the adoption of their budget, and then we must meet before we go back or before the end of the month.
Yeah. To also indicate that have we not been under an intense pressure? In fact, we would have had an engagement with the department at least over 2 days. Deal with the European branch, the EU and all of the things happening there, and what is our point of engagement, why there are certain weaknesses, what are we doing with that. We have dealt with East Asia, we have dealt with the Africa branch, etc., etc. Now, we didn't have enough time, so we engaged with the department only for a day. So the point we're making, I was told that we might, by the end of the month, consider some kind of workshop, some kind of orientation of our portfolio committee.
Yes, Chairperson, there is a proposal which is going to be tabled to the committee as you discussed it. Chair. There will be an orientation session whereby the department will be actually unpacking how they deliver the mandate. That will also relate to, you know, them unpacking their structure so that the committee is made aware how the structure is channeled to deliver the mandate. So they are going to be actually making a thorough orientation program for the committee to know exactly what the department does and what branch does what and how the structure helps them to deliver all the mandate.
So, Mala, your issue will then be taken care of. Honorable Kota, do you want to say something?
Chair, I beg your indulgence, but I would like to raise a matter which I think is of some import. I was listening to your preliminary comment before you went into this meeting, into the status of this issue. I think it's important that we should analyze as early as possible that these committee meetings are formal meetings that they must sustain protocol of parliament. Now, I found it uncomfortable that in course of your comments you talk about Zuma's president, Thabo Mbeki's president, probably Mandela's president. Now, this sounds like we are somewhere in a social gathering in the township. So, sir, this is a meeting of parliament. We must talk about President Zuma. We must talk about former President Mbeki. And so on. Unless we sustain, and I must say this with humility, unless we sustain the dignity of parliament and allies meetings, we become a laughing stock among nations of the world. And we don't educate ourselves, we don't develop ourselves. One of these days, we will send people to the United Nations representing South Africa. And they'll start saying that now, under Zuma's presidency, under Mbeki's presidency, and so on. And that will scale down the state of our country, of our institution, is we are members of parliament. You may be a member of the administration and so on, but you must be sensitive, and we have to sensitize you. That you cannot talk like that. Please, even ourselves, we cannot talk like that about the leadership of the country, any country. Please, I just want to underline that, and that all of us at least must know. It's not just about the chair, it's all of us who must sustain this. Thank you very much.
Then I'm going to record your intervention is noted and is welcome. Thank you very much. Mukalapa, you talked about the issues coming about, and I didn't hear you moving.
Oh,
that's optional.
Okay. Chair, when I made my comments, I said I move adoption of the program of the agenda. However, I just want to raise this issue. So it must have been you must have missed me in the system, but I have moved for adoption.
Thank you very much. In second, another
hotel. Second adoption of the agenda.
Thank you. The agenda is so adopted. I suggest that we are going to look at the draft report page by page. And I'm going to maybe, and I think we need to be a little bit very slowly. It is going to be mounted there. Okay. So that we can allow members to say in a particular word or concept or an expression that they think is in such a way could shift a particular meaning and or may affect what we want to say in that particular regard until the end of this report, where we're going to end up with the recommendations, specific recommendations that we are going to make to Parliament. And after that, I will then request members to adopt the report. Now, there is page one there, which talks about the presentations that were made by, I think those are a little bit straightforward, the presentation that was made by Sigwela about the budget process to the 11th. I think that's the process that you were talking about, how that was unfolding up to the EPC that will commence on the 15th. And then the content advisor, the Neo Musala, then that with the issues that are contained in that in the report. It was a very rich presentation. I don't think you captured everything here, but it is a good report, a presentation that was made that day. And then the last presentation was by Dr. Zondi, which is on page 2. Are there some issues, or is there any comment about some issues on page 1? Well, the other thing that I think I suggest we'll do, if an honorable member has some issue that we may have picked up in a particular page, you can raise up your hand and draw our attention to that, that you think a particular formulation could be better improved. Yeah. We can look at page 2. Yes, page 1. Paragraph.
I'm not sure the report is intended to be a direct reflection of the actual meeting and its proceedings. Particularly in terms of the sequence of presentations. But I just want to get clarity from the committee secretary on that one. And then I wanted to also get clarity, I'm just trying to find the presentation of that day around the presentation from the department in particular. What I recall was the department presented its strategic plan or it's any performance plan actually, but following that, I'm not sure whether it was the strategic plan of the African Renaissance Fund or if it was the annual performance plan. I'm just wanting to make a quick reference before we can, but if there's any other member that can assist me, I would appreciate that, yeah. No. Yes, I'm done.
Well, with regard to the sequence of the presentation, you're correct. You remember when we started the sequel, it was, according to the agenda, supposed to walk us through the budgetary process. Was not in. He had gone to photocopy on the agenda. Yeah, he has gone out. Now, we then started with Ms. Musa. But then, he later then came on, almost at the last. But because according to the agenda, I was supposed to be the first one, I think this is how that can be. But in the strict sense of it, it didn't come this way, in the strict sense of it. Now, with regard to the second matter on the, you were saying the strategic plan and the annual performance plan of the ARF.
Yes, Chair. I found the presentation. I don't think that the department was presenting on the strategic plan. They were just giving a background on issues around the ARF. So I wanted us to clarify the purposes of the report, so that our report is a clear reflection of what we discussed. If you would recall, this was the presentation. And when it came to the ARF issue, we were referred by the department to the following, not in particular to the strategic plan or to the annual performance plan. So I just want the report to reflect that correctly. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Hatem.
What does the report do? Chairperson, I think what has transpired in that meeting is that it was for the first time that the IRF had a strategic plan. And then I think that they did take us through the projected budget as we move forward, but also the annual one, whereby we are going to think about the issue of transfer of 277 million. So I think it was integrated, but what happened is that we discussed it even without referring to the report, because a lot of issues arose out of that without going through the sequence. By the time we arrived at this thing, basically, we discussed this issue when we were still discussing the target strategy plan. Yeah, that's how it transpired. So we can see that we dealt with it.
Just to emphasize the point and say what transpired is that we had a report, which is the one that we had. Then we had a presentation to the report. So it's a synopsis of the report. And by the time we got to the ARF, we were extensively discussing it in the main content of the report of the department. So when we went to it, we dealt with the budget that they are proposing in view of its closure to that part. So that is the discussion. So it's all in order. I think we can proceed.
Thank you, Honorable Kalapa. I was saying, is there any issue on page 1? Can you look at issues in page 2? And please draw our attention to a paragraph, if there is any issue that we should look at.
Chair, just also to assist on the process, I think we should not be looking for commas and spelling grammar. Those are cosmetic issues. We cannot also expect that the research and the content advisor would put all the points that were raised. They would just put spell across the way. And then I think the crux of the matter will come where we are saying committee observations. That is where the committee members can say, we made this observation and can add on what they have observed. Then it will culminate in our recommendations. To talk on the, the presenters presented, so we cannot argue with their presentation. I mean, it's just a waste of time. And cannot go on cosmetic issues. All we'd rather go to is what we as the committee observe and put input. And then from there we'll go to the recommendation on what we recommend based on our input. That's just what I propose, Chair.
Thank you. when the proposal you are making, it depends what honourable members think about that. I thought you will go page by page and see if there are any comments. Noting the intervention you are making that will not contribute to comments and have one substantive issue. Page by page, but then spend more attention on the recommendations and observations. I would agree with that. But also it means that you yourself have read the report and you know what is happening in each page. And that could be to a disadvantage. If we just say, go let them go to page 70, it could disadvantage other members. You see, that's a small thing. Or someone who may be...
But the of parliament records, I agree with you, but I go through page by page. But it's common convention that members should come in the public while I said the problem. You can't do that committee in your committee.
Okay. We're on page 2. Any issues there? Honorable Koda? You want clarity on that at this stage when we are considering the report?
No, I'm really just asking for general information. There was indicated to us by the deputy minister that he would make available for us a copy of the report, and the copy of the report of the other people made available for us. I just want to tell you what that made available, if it isn't true.
No. It was not closed in that way. What we had said was that the minister, the minister must inform the minister that a copy of the report of the ARF regarding the issues that arise from the auditor's report must come to the portfolio committee. And then it didn't say today for consideration by the portfolio committee, today when we look at the budget. We said the minister personally or the minister must delegate a deputy minister to come and present that report to the PC. Then we'll engage with that report. There was this. We'll have a discussion with the minister regarding that particular report on that particular day. So, whilst that report must come, and I'm saying must come, it was not necessarily going to be part of the budget that we must consider today. This is the budget of the department vote right, because we must consider this business, and then we must say what we're saying. Yeah, so it will come at some point. And it will get on our record. We were on page 3, and I was going to ask whether, just for my own clarity, on paragraph 2, sorry, line number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we were talking about Ubuntu Radio. I just want to check that the enhancement of public diplomacy through media interface, Ubuntu Radio, what do you want to say here? I just thought that something just got lost here. I know it's something is what you call Ubuntu diplomacy or diplomacy of Ubuntu. And Akwana, my sense, I've got a particular view about that, but Lana, didn't this get into this Ubuntu Radio? What would be Ubuntu Radio?
The department has established a radio called Ubuntu Radio in order to enhance public diplomacy activities of the department. They have a radio running throughout the day, which the department does is running a radio station, a small media platform. So it's one issue which in the future the committee can engage the department on.
Is it a program called Ubuntu Radio in a particular radio station or is a specific station and its name is called Ubuntu Radio?
It's
and what are the issues?
It's It's an established studio within the department, which is called...
Sorry, Anna. Ladies and gentlemen, I had instructed that all phones be lost. Yes.
Called Ubuntu Radio. Yes, Jefferson. So the issues Jefferson is raising were the issues which the fourth parliament also raised. So it's one issue which the committee can deal with in the legacy report.
It's clear. What happens is that under program 4, the public domain center protocol, there is this sub-program or this project that we have done, which is called Ubuntu Radio, which forms part of public diplomacy. So it's enhancing public diplomacy. If you recall, the committee raised an issue of saying, how do we make sure that we communicate our message here at home and abroad? And there was mention of the classical case of our votes in the United Nations, and say, how do we make sure that we reach our people before, you know, the international media does that? So there's this radio station that has been established within the department called Ubuntu Radio. And I think it's flowing from the so-called Ubuntu diplomacy. Yeah, but I think those are two separate issues. The radio is just a program within the department. And Ubuntu diplomacy is something that you and I must be seized with once we started our program, because we don't know where they come from.
Thank you, Mahalapa. Honorable Dudley.
This is a suggestion that we add one word there, where it says media interface. We either say including Ubuntu Radio or specifically. If there's other things as well as Ubuntu Radio, then we would put the word including. If it's only Ubuntu Radio, we just say specifically Ubuntu Radio, so that we know that's what we're referring to. And leave the brackets up.
Yeah, I think we should say including. Okay, because the minister, deputy ministers, any other person communicating issues regarding foreign relations can speak in any other way. Honorable Mustami?
I think just by the way, once we are on Ubuntu Radio, one of the things that I think the committee must be able to communicate with the department, to get clarity from the department, is a recent problem that Ubuntu Radio is facing in terms of its financial situation, but also in terms of its overall image and reputation. I think the committee must be able to get a sense from the department as to what is the status in terms of those public challenges that Ubuntu Radio is facing upon its launch. So I think that the committee should ask for that clarity. Thanks.
Going forward, no? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Noted. Page 3. Page 4.
I didn't raise the question because it did occur to me in the discussion last week that, occur to me last week that this issue of the money that went missing around the funeral of the former President Mandela seems to have a number of ramifications. And I wonder whether there's a relationship between this amount that is referred to here and the arrest that we saw happen in the Eastern Cape. No, that's all. Thanks. Thank you, Shane.
Thank you, Honorable Kota. Are you providing an answer to what you were saying, Prasala?
No, Shane. That one was the issue of the municipality. Municipality finance, it was the issue of over a pressure because it was not something expected. Suddenly they had to host these ministers of state in, so that's why it was not budgeted for, but it was approved, basically approved.
Yeah. Honorable Kalyan,
thank you. Basically, I was not present at this presentation last week due to eye action, but I just want to know, as you're going through, that some suggestions are being made. Are they just being noted, or are we giving a timeline to the department to supply the information before the debate on the 22nd? I take the point of Ms. Honourable Munsami. She raised issues saying we need clarity on it. Now, are we just noting it so that the next time we meet it will be still in the minutes, or are we giving a time frame by which we want to it responded to in order to highlight issues and concerns in the budget voice?
Well, somewhere in the report, there are recommendations that are made. We are going to deal with those recommendations. There is a line, as we'll be going through the report, that says that the department is given 3 months. Now, the question would be whether, with regard to a specific issue, for instance, Oral Lukwata was talking about the ARF report, and his view was that it might come today. I think within a reasonable period of time, it will come to us. The other reports may come within 3 months. We didn't specifically say on that day, before the day of the debate on the 22nd. I don't remember us saying that. Half of the observations that we've made, and we've made a lot of these observations during page 3 up to page 4. They are not necessarily time-bound. What we would want to say today about them with regard to the time frame is something else.
Thank you, Chairman. I think that everything which is raised within the portfolio committee must be processed accordingly. But here we are dealing with the report which is going to be the budget report, which must be tabled to Parliament. Some of these things cannot find expression here, but in the program which we are going to roll out, then those things must find expression there so that we have oversight on it. I can make an example. The issue should be raised by Honorable Monsami here, the issue of food radio. It means that when we go and meet the department, we must ensure that beforehand, we send that question to the police, expatiate on this issue. Then I think that's how it should be handled. But right now, Chair, we have a concern of time that by Friday we should have adopted this report so that the extended public committee is starting on Tuesday next week. So I think that the sooner we adopt the report, but we know everything as we move forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Khadir. Honourable Kota.
I don't want to be late on the point. You know, in the discussions last week, I had the sense that there was uncertainty amongst us whether the report on the ARF, whether there were no implications out of that report for us approving the budget. Well, one of the questions that was arising was whether there were any funds that may have been misused there, which would have a bearing on our capacity to adopt this report or not, to approve it or not. And I think it was on that table that the General Honourable and others were saying, look, can we please have it before we have to approve the budget, Now, the Deputy Minister gave the impression that the report was available, that it could be made available, so that by the time we do that, we have no hang-ups about the fact that we may be approving something when we don't have some of the information. That's the only concern I have about if it can be clarified by the position there is.
Thank you, Chairperson. The report, I think the issue of the report which was raised about ARF, it was presented by me personally. What I requested is that all the programs issue, the projects which were funded by the IRF, the department must make available, because that those things have got a clear bearing on the budget itself, so that we know. Because the issue, Chair. Because what I raised there is that in the transfer of the department, there's 277 million which is going to the IRF. Yeah. And then since we are new members, we have no clue what has transpired in the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. So that's why I requested that from 2009 mm-hmm. to 2014, all the projects which were funded through the IRF must be presented by the department to the chairperson's office by yesterday, by Monday. Yeah. Not only that, also we said all the department must, in particular, coming to the issue of international transfer, mm-hmm. all the issue of all the international organizations which the department is affiliated to, how many South Africans are employed mm-hmm. in those, so that everyone moving forward will have that information. And then we link the issue of the auditor general report, that the minister must come and provide the report. But that one which is connected with is the issue of the funding expenditure of the IRF fund, the ARF fund plus the employment of South African citizens in the multilateral organization to which we transfer money to. So I think it must have come. If not here, I think the Secretary must be able to provide that. Thank you.
Yeah, in addition, Honourable Reporter, just to provide a clarity. I mean, yeah, it's a small addition. It is that what is before us for consideration is the 14 and 15 budget. That matter of the ARF arises in the AG's report of 12 and 13. You see, the minister will come still and deal with that, but it belongs at least to 12 and 13. Yeah, that's the point you made. Now, let's continue. Page.
Thank you very much. I want to link page 3 and page 4. Page 4, 3.2.2 refers to the asset register response for students, but it's not captured.
What?
Well, it refers to 3.22 on page 4, a response by the presenter. It's the fourth paragraph from the top. It refers to the asset register, Chair, and there is no follow point from prior regarding the observation and the concern. There was a specific concern raised, Chair, about one, is there an asset register that covers all the assets of the department? Secondly, on the issue of buying or leasing premises. And what we were requesting in that concern or observation was that we needed to have a comprehensive understanding of where the department stood so that we were able to make the kind of recommendations thoroughly in terms of the budget moving forward, where does it stand with its assets abroad, particularly its properties. I think that the Deputy Minister did try and give some clarity, but the fact of the matter is it was a concern that was raised by the committee. And following that was the issue of what value does the property add to the department's vision. I think that was part of understanding the asset registry that was raised as a concern, but it's omitted from page 3 under observations and concerns. The other issue I think that is important that the Honourable Khadebe raises is the point of the fact that the reason the committee did not come out in terms of approving the budget was based on those expectations around the five-year expenditure of the ARF, as well as the second request that was made around the employment of, because we asked a question to, I think in particular, also the content advisor at that point. Does it make a difference, such a substantial difference to the budget, if you have only 5 vacancies that are still to be filled? And we needed to get a sense around what impact did a few vacancies not being filled have on the overall budget. And those are some of the areas that I think were really important that were not captured on page 3. The third issue, Chair, I think that was not captured thoroughly was whether Treasury makes provision for the currency fluctuation. But the dilemma that the department is facing is the fact that there has already been a massive impact that the currency fluctuation has had on the department's budget. And how are we able to ensure that we demonstrate that in terms of our analysis of budget as a committee? Because the concern would be that we're just approving a budget without having considered that the major impact of that budget came from that currency fluctuation. So I think that that impacts the role of Treasury in terms of being able to take responsibility for that currency fluctuation. How is it possible? But I think I also found the consistency towards the end of the report. It doesn't cover the fact that we said it is a recommendation to Treasury that Treasury must be in a position. I think I'm just preempting the penultimate page, Chair. Just so that we're able to understand that, because this is what we're dealing with in terms of the budget, but what really was the major emphasis in that meeting was the fact that the currency fluctuation has played a terrible emotional game with the budget and the outcomes of how the department may have over and underspent. That was the fourth point, Chair, that was raised, that we can't continue to look at both the underspending and overspending synonymously. We need a clarification, and that was the concern, I think, that was omitted as well from page B, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Monsanto, for your input. Are there any further comments? Let me just assist a little bit with regard to the current fluctuation. The department did say that they do make engagements with Treasury to address this weakness, but that there's not much that they can do about this, because currency fluctuations happen every day from time to time according to the country with which relationship, the UK, the United States, the Europe. And from time to time, our land sometimes weakens so much that you have a problem. And it was not just currency fluctuations regarding the leases there. It was also the salaries of people that you have to pay, your own employees that are in that particular I think it's kind of a perennial problem. Now, with regard to the asset register, we made an observation. I think in the report, what it says is that there is a property that is not registered. I don't know which way to write about it. It's like you have this bottle, it's not registered, but you find it there. Sometimes what you have not found there, you find in the asset register. So I think the common observation was that the asset register is not necessarily up to scratch, the asset register of the department, whether it's regarding property or it's photo cards and all of those kind of things. And we know now that one of the items that the AG will look at when he audits a department or an entity is the asset register and the value of the asset register. So the point I'm making is very important, but how then it is made up to be a particular recommendation is something else. I would imagine it is part of the recommendations we're making. Is there anything? We're fine. Okay. Then we're on page 5. Yeah, let's move faster now. Page 6. Over here, the department. And then page 7, the distribution of the budget. Yes?
On page 7, the second line, that figure is very massive. 5,754 people. It must be 5.7. Yeah, because if you put it like that, I don't think even our GDP $45.7 billion. Because what we don't recommend is a different political meaning. Because yeah, these are the it means that these are the billions. All these numbers are billions. So it's almost like a billion. And I think, you know, they show the emissions, they are these 1.4 instead of 1.5, and those minor things which are there.
Thank you very much. Page 8. Expenditure Transport Department has programs, administration, international relations, up to the last one.
You
see, you remember when there was some comment around that, I think was it a content advisor who said that the oversight model that we have now must be improved so that we can undertake some talk to Malawi and see if the bridge is in the steel. Okay. Page 9.
So it's on that point. On that point about oversight in Malawi, obviously it came out very clearly that we are in a ridiculous position as a committee, and it was not to do with the report. I'm just wondering whether we shouldn't take this up somewhere or ask Bridget to take it up in terms of oversight for us is done, should be done outside of our borders more than inside, and we've got a ridiculous situation where we can only do a study trip every 2 years or something. So it's sort of cropping up in a few places, and I know it's not the right time to bring it up here, but if we could put it on our agenda or put it on your agenda perhaps to deal with Parliament.
Thanks, Honourable. It's one of the recommendations. When we come to the recommendations, we look at that, then you can check whether the way it is captured does take care of the concern. Page 10. Page 11. Page 12.
Yes. Again, I wasn't here, and the question I would have asked is, why does the Department of International Relations... Page 13, Program 5, International Transfer.
Yes.
Okay. My question would have been, had the department had been here, is that why does the Department of International Relations pay the membership fees to the UN, the AU, and SADC? Because Parliament is affiliated to these organizations, and therefore it should come out of Vote 2, which is Parliament's budget.
I'm going to venture around Chakaria. I'm going to venture into an explanation, but I think officials will improve it better. That probably you are referring to the Parliament to Parliament relations, because there the DGI are in the Parliament where we are linked to other parliaments. But in this specific instance, you are talking about that department which affiliates to other international, multilateral organizations such as the United Nations, the EU, Pan African Parliament, etc. There are, whether you call it membership or you call them subscription. Yeah, now there is money like that that you pay, but it differs from country to country. Some countries contribute more than others. I know, but it's an old information that the USA, for instance, used to contribute almost alone 25% of the UN budget, and other countries something. But the UN must have a budget, so the member countries contribute to them. To the
okay.
Operations of that institution.
Is
an improvement of my
explanation. Mukhalapa? Yes, just to improve that explanation. What happens is that for these parliamentary bodies, from parliament to parliament, those are where we pay the subscription as parliament, like the SADC, the EU, South African Parliament, and all those Caribbean parliament stuff. But this one is the main government to government program, like
membership fee. Yes, that is what you do.
It's a subscription fee that you pay to sustain the AU. For example, I think the AU only the members that are paying South Africa, Algeria, Nigeria, Egypt, and Libya. Those are the five that are contributing, and the rest come from donor funds. So it's one of those, like you've made it an explanation or example of the UN, where 25% comes from the UN. So it's those kind of things. And I think one thing that comes out of this one, and that we should vigorously champion as the committee, is what Honorable Radebe has been proposing. And it's started, and it's coming from the first parliament in terms of candidacy diplomacy. We need to influence rather than having only to pay subscription fee. We must have people that we second to go and, you know, I remember when we raised this issue with the department, they said, because of the nature of payment of such institutions, they are low paying as opposed to an African government. So most of the people are reluctant to go and acquire this, you know, position. So it's something that, it might be a white elephant or something that is neither here nor there. But that was the last explanation they gave us. They said, South Africans don't want to go there. And that is one thing that we need to, as a committee, champion because we can say, we are one of the countries that always is on time when it comes to international transfer. But when you look at the bodies, you ask how many South Africans are there. It's the only South African I know in this is only Dr. Nkosa Zanele. That's the only one that I know in the AU Commission. But if you look at everything else, we are not there. And we need to find out why. The last time they said to us, South Africans don't want to go because they are low paid. But it might be a debate for the whole day.
Well, thanks for your addition. Mosala, you want to improve it? Yeah.
Just to say, the five countries with Honorable Mukhalapa said to in Africa are the highest payers within the EU. But there is a formula which is used, which you know, the bigger economies are charged pay more. But the rest of the continent, the rest of the other countries also still contribute the membership fees.
Good, thank you.
Okay, let's then move to page 14. Any comments there? Page 15.
Chair, it would not necessarily be a amendment to what has been written, but just a few additions.
Sorry, it is specific to the paragraph?
No, Chair, that's what I'm saying. It is not necessarily a amendment of the current, but just an additional observation that I think should be included. I'm not clearing the observation that far, so I'm not speaking to a particular amendment.
Just to say that we need to deal with, or the observation that was made was the issue of the irregular spending that we need to also put in. I'm not sure if it's unauthorized or overspending or irregular spending, more than 115 million. We received an explanation, if you recall, of how it came about, vis-a-vis the state funeral, vis-a-vis the fluctuation in international relations, and vis-a-vis the state protocol because of the funeral of former President Mandela. So we just have to say that the committee made an observation of that irregular or unauthorized spending, that happened, and it should not be, it's something that should be addressed in future so that it does not recur. Because if you recall, the explanation we received was that it's because of the issue of the foreign exchange, which there's frankly not much we can do about, but it was because of the unprecedented event of the state funeral and all those things. But it's something that we as a committee have noted with quite concern, because it might impact on the audit outcome of the department, while in essence it's not necessarily the fault of the department. But when it comes to the auditor general, he could say, this is an irregular expenditure that you can get as a department. But it was an explanation on the part of the department. So I don't know how we're going to deal with that one. It's overspending. It's overspending. Yeah. It's not regular or other. It's overspending. Something of that sort. I think it ties down with the two issues of the asset issue and as well as the other issue of fluctuations. But this one has got unforeseen circumstances that forced this department to overspend.
I see that there are three or four hands. The point, however, you are saying is that this observation must be inserted as some kind of 9.23.
Uh-huh.
I would imagine members want to speak to that. Kana ngalaba ngalaba kulume honorable followed by advocate Mbumlana, then Dan Hall Dudley, then Monsami. Yes.
I think what honorable Ngalaba is talking, maybe if you can look at page 4, 3.23, I think it is explained currently, even the issue of the supporting of the AU, which she's talking about, and it was stated then it was like 215.1, but though it's not stated here, but it just said support the AU, I think paragraph 3.23, it is getting stated there, the cost of engine, and also, 3.23, overspending was not only the value of the state general of the former President Nelson Mandela, but also the head of the Senator, and then they went on to tell us about the conference, and also and the UN Framework Convention of Climate Change and Paris Summit. Then it also goes on to talk to the support on the AU Commission, which I think that the thing she's talking about is that they explained anyway.
Thank you very much, Honorable Advocate.
Yes, I'm not sure if the honourable member is saying that there should be no more overspend because of cost of circumstances. If he says so, definitely it's difficult for us to observe. But there is an explanation, and nobody knows what's going to happen in future. So we cannot, if there's anything similar to say, don't spend on everything. I would think that unless it is, he is seriously feeling that very strongly that there should be a decision, I would request that he withdraw from that. Thank you.
We'll come back to that. I don't think you were saying that. But Dudley?
Thank you, but I was going to bring up the same issue in a different way, is that obviously unforeseen circumstances are something we can expect, particularly with this department. So I'm just wondering, how do we actually then get them to get their heads around how do we accommodate that at times? Because it should be something, it shouldn't be a strange thing every time it happens. Obviously, we only had one Madiba, but we do have the elderly statement. We have, we don't know what they could be called on, but the department themselves should have some idea what they may be called on. Because I think it was mentioned there that BRICS, there was some overrun on BRICS spending as well. So they've got to have some idea of what unforeseen circumstances may come up, and where do we put that in the budget? So I'm just wondering. Yeah.
Emergency budget.
Honourable Monsami. You are covered.
No,
line up there and I've got you.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Unless you feel that you're going to speak to different...
No, it's fine. I think that the issue I want to raise is in line with what is being raised, particularly around, by now the department should have a sense of what happens from time to time. And if the... I can be projected, Chair. I think that...
Yeah, but that is from the error.
And I think it's at the heart of what you've been saying also in terms of the unpredictable nature of currencies, etc. It can't be that it is so unpredictable that it compromises the department is reaching its mandate. And I think if we are not going to be conscious enough of that, it means that from time to time we will be held accountable for not cautioning the department of obvious realities. So I think that is something that's really important. I want clarity also on the issue around the 15% of the budget that goes to the AU. It was raised by the Deputy Minister in the meeting or the presentation that was made. But what I want to say is that the issue of over expenditure and under spending, it may not be, as you're putting it, irregular, it can be unforeseen, etc. But the real point that the report should be speaking to, what has the department done to control these things over the past, experiences when it had the same thing? How are we managing the situation? But more importantly, what does it say about the department's respect for the PFMA? I think that is just, you know, we must just be realistic that if this is something that happens because of this, you know, we should be able to plan at least, you know, if there is money and if it's not spent because somebody has not died, then we know realistically that this is now in a reserve somewhere. But what respect does the department have for the PFMA? I think that is the... And the final issue that I think the court must be able to cover, Secretary, is the issue of the risk projection, because it's something that has been raised consistently. How is the department preparing for risk? And these are things that are risking the department's reputation in terms of the budget. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chakashan. What I'd like to caution the commitment, I'm making a special appeal. You know, we can never actually even quantify what the late President Madiba has done for his country. So the issue of raising the issue of his funeral, to all my side, really, is almost bordering on the issue of disrespect. Because I think the department has explained it, that this was unforeseen circumstances, just like in the family. When my mother passed on, I didn't expect her to pass on during that time. You have to go deep into my because it's personal. But what is happening here, I think that even as we move forward, what Honorable Kota has said is that really we have to treat our head of state differently with the respect it deserves. So I think that the issue of raising this issue now and again, it's not palatable. Because as I said that, I cannot even start quantifying what Madiba has done for the country. And we go and question the department about how it organized that thing. I'm not saying that, but I think that we must really show some sort of restraint around that. And then, Chair, on the issue of that there was overspending, it's a fact. But that overspending is accommodated for in the PFMA itself. It is there. That's why in October we have the BRR process. So that if there were things which were unforeseen, therefore, the parliament is able to condone it. There's nothing wrong with the department of that. It has to do what it's supposed to do. That's why when they bring back the report, with the fourth quarter report, it will reflect that there was this expenditure. And then what will happen, the parliament, during the BRR process, the parliament will come and condone that. Because it was not a silly expenditure. It was a necessary expenditure. So I think that the move has to be with me. On the issue of the fluctuations of currency, that one really is a discrepancy. The rent is not a reserve currency. So it means that it cannot be that it is stable. It is dependent upon the other currencies. Because if we can suggest, I think that if we can look on page 14, the implementation of containment measures, I think things are being done around us now. But the issue is that we know that when you go to the international market, immediately you go and buy dollars. You go and buy dollars. You hold the dollar. Today, it is 10 rand 50. Tomorrow, it will be 9 rand. You have holding dollars when the our currency is floating, it's a floating currency. So there's not much you can do. So once you start giving the department instruction that it must start holding the forex, and then it's not going to be able to achieve the money. So I think that there's a fine balance there, which must be left to the financial fundi, who must deal with it day to day. So we cannot really try to tie down. As there's a plan with the treasury, they can do the best possible. But we cannot hold them. The issue of this thing will always be with us. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I've got two people just before Honorable Kota, Honorable Maila.
No, thanks, Chair. After the presentation by Honorable Kadi, I think I'll
Honorable
Halapa,
if you
want to
have a second point.
Yes, thank you very much. I think let me clarify and just allay the fears of Honorable Halapa. I am not raising this issue out of disrespect of Dr. Madiba, and I think it's part of one of the reasons that we've been given. So I'm just putting it as part of the reasons that we've been given. But I think Honorable Bashi and Honorable Mustan have covered me with the essence of what I was raising. It's a matter of claiming. It's a matter of making sure that because of the way it looks, we're going to be overspending. And you know why the Auditor General is so strict when it comes to this. It will impact and affect the audit outcome of this department. So what I'm saying, and I recently called the acting DG last week, when he made the presentation, he said, this budget does not reflect the market reality. And I fail to understand and comprehend that. And so you come to us, you are requesting for facts. And you are telling us the funds that you are requesting for from us does not cater for the market really. So for me, the essence is just to make sure that we plan for the unforeseen circumstances that we have. And I think the Honorable Minister was speaking about the risk. So it's not a question of leaving on the point of what they were spending for the financial year, whatever. It's just that it's part of the reasons that were given. But I'm not laboring on that point. I'm working on the future that when we, with the department, should plan better, so that they make sure that they've got contingency plan, especially this department in dealing with issues of protocol, which is the most important function of this, and it's well unforeseen circumstances ahead. And I think this department should plan better. So what maybe we should be saying is that in the public diplomacy and protocol program, which is a core program, the department should plan a little bit better so that they deal with overspending and unforeseen circumstances.
Okay. I think it is called unforeseen and unavoidable. But I don't think all unforeseen circumstances are also unavoidable. But death is unforeseen and unavoidable. And there might be unforeseen expenditures on humanitarian aid, which is actually avoidable. But it depends where it has happened and what relation to everyone can be. There was clarity that was sought by Al Munsami, Nyahuya, on the 15% budget that goes to the AU. I don't know if anyone among the officials would be able to give a better explanation there. No, she was saying that she wants clarity on the 15% of the budget. I think it's of a program that goes to the African Union. Did I hear you well? So that someone then can come back and try to clarify this because she wanted clarity. Honorable Kota?
No, I'm going to...
You're not ready yet?
No, I'm not ready, but the caucus...
The caucus is part of our own
No,
Over to you.
It may well be that I am heading, but I want to make just a general observation that I think all of us in this committee must be alive to now. With regard to international relations, there will always be overspending. And we must come to terms with that. When budget is done, it is usually predicated about what is already known, a project that will be undertaken. But we don't know whether before the next budget cycle, whether there might not be heavy rains that might lead to huge floods, as we've seen some years in Mozambique. And then you find human beings in large numbers swept away by water and all of that, and that may impose a meeting of the SADC nations to come together and say, now, look, what do we do about this? And a decision may now be taken there, not by South Africa, but the community of SADC, that each member country must contribute so much. So this is unforeseen, it's unavoidable, life must be saved. So South Africa will find it has no choice but to incur it. What is critical is that when that has been done, it's got to come back to report and say, this emergency situation arose and as a result, that is what happened. I think what was indicated, for instance, in the case of the funeral president, is that even though the department had budgeted had a certain amount of money, what they couldn't anticipate was how many heads of state far in excess of what they had thought would be. You can't know that the look when you have too many, some of you guys go back to this man or pay for your own checkup, you know. So you have to deal with this kind of situation. Now, the African Union, by the way, was set up after South Africa democratized because it opened a new agenda for the continent. Liberation struggles had been concluded. The challenge facing the continent was economic upliftment. Economic upliftment of the whole continent. Now, because of Africa is one of the biggest economies in the continent, it's got huge obligations in terms of supporting those programs. And that's why President Mbeki was so heavily involved on behalf of South Africa with regards to this. It was not his personal program. The AU is a program of the whole continent, of all the nations. But not all of them are able to contribute to the project successfully as they are. It's important for our country that every year it must set something aside so it makes proportionate contribution to what needs to be done if the continent is to be uplifted. You can see people drifting in big numbers southwards because of the difficulties we see of urban development elsewhere. So as long as we are in that position, we are going to find that foreign affairs but international relations will impose obligations, but we must be able to account and we must make sure that when such contributions are made, they're made to projects that are in keeping with the political objectives that our country has committed itself to. As long as it's like this, and as long as we are satisfied that the resources have not been wasted or have not been applied to purposes other than the purposes adopted by the nation, then that's really our task in this regard. So maybe we shouldn't concentrate so much on cutting, reducing it. It's more about making sure that the resources advance the political objectives of the country as it's committed to the continent, and of course the United Nations as well. Thank you.
No, thank you very much for your very extensive explanation. I think the last point, however, should still be on our record, members. that the rents and friends must be accounted for. There was this unforeseen and unavoidable incident, whether it's the death of somebody or this incident are referring to, then we spend 50 rand. And it was via the supply chain, or it was not via the supply chain because it was urgent, it was last, but we ended up spending this much. And then it became an over-expenditure. I think the background that Oral Rwanda gave is very good, and it's acceptable that there will always be, or there might be, over-expenditure. The only thing in again, Putin, how much then was spent, for what cost, and in how did it advance one of the objectives of our foreign policy. Page 18, you've got the responses by the department there, from 1 up to 11. I don't know if we want to deal with that, because I want us to get into the recommendations. Yeah, those were their recommendations, and then Rubabala, let's get the, where are those recommendations? Let's have a try for 10 minutes break. No, we're not finishing, just to pay for the time. Oh, good. Yeah, we are going to match.
Thank you. Honorable members, let's reorganize.
escuela, voy a la escuela. Yeah, I note that the Honorable Order and Honorable Hana would like to be on this shortly. But I propose that we look at the recommendations, that a few set of recommendations that we could make to Parliament so that the department could be directed to attend to them. That's what we give to the committee member. Okay. Just make available the draft. Yeah. That will be 12.1 up to 12.7, but we could improve the formulation of the exam or could subtract. I don't know, should I read all of them or read them one by one?
Yeah.
One by one. The first one is that the recommend.
We don't have the corporate.
Any don't have the copy?
Yes.
One, two, three.
It's chairman, come on.
Don't come on. Where are you making them?
No.
Okay, how many for chairman?
Yes.
Let's get into discussions now. Perhaps let me present the first recommendation and see if it serves sufficiently or adequately what you wanted to say. The Protocol Committee recommends that concerns relating to the monitoring and review of the implementation of projects under the ARF be done. The Portfolio Committee further recommends that this should include increasing oversight visits to projects in the countries concerned by visits of the South African missions or embassies in their countries of deployment. Now, there are two things here. The first one is that because the particular committee has some limitations, wherever there might have been a project done under the ARF, the department, the DECO, must ensure that our mission goes to the PRC or the Sotho, whether it was an issue of the road bridge or distribution of food or whatever. The department must tell us who did it send to go and monitor whether such a project or such a thing is indeed attended. Now, that is the first thing that I think we are recommending. But the other one is that there might be a need for committee members themselves to take a visit to a specific country and see if the project was done. Now, the limitation is the oversight model. The oversight model limits you to the country because there are other, what should I call that, diplomatic constraints that you may not be allowed. I'm not sure if what I'm saying now is correct. You may not be allowed to get into the United States or into Israel or Malawi and say, look, we are members of Parliament of Africa. We've come to check whether our Department of Foreign Affairs did indeed distribute food here. Now, because we are oversighting the South African Department of International Relations within the borders of the country, because the parliament where we are working is within the borders of the country. Now, whether you can go outside the borders of the country and supervise this thing there yourself as the South African parliament might be another thing. So, maybe you can assist us in revisiting the overhead model. I'm just saying that's what number one is to assist us with the Honorable Hadel.
Honorable Shepherd, the starting point here is that that oversight model, Honorable Shepherd, the oversight model was adopted by Parliament. The members, these members around this committee, agreed on that. If that oversight model is a limitation, it's the responsibility of the committee to bring to the attention of the presiding officers that there is a limitation here. Because Chairperson, it cannot be right. I look at the IR codes which are here. There are codes humanitarian assistance in the Sahel region, $250 million. If you can take $250 million, Chairperson, and take it to the constituency, it can make a huge difference. But we're not questioning that it was not supposed to be spent there. The issue must ensure that it is done there. You can go to the United States, Chair. Those guys, they follow their money where it is. Mm-hmm. Even the EU itself, the Parliament, some of the training programs which were held in Parliament are funded by the EU funds. They come here annually. Mm-hmm. Annually come here in Parliament to check whether we're doing these things accordingly. So, Chair, the issue of the commission and embassies visiting those projects, I think that is something superfluous, because those projects will not have been there without our embassies being involved. Because those are the people who are supposed to put the head study for those projects. But what is critical there is that certain selected projects must be visited by the control committee. Because then I already be worried. I'll make an example. 2003, there was vaccine in Zimbabwe. South Africa supplied food there. I was in the portfolio committee of Agriculture and Land Affairs. We went there because when that money was expended to Zimbabwe, we put a proviso that, please, the food we are going to supply there must not come from the United States or any other country. It must come from our farmers here in the country. Those are the things which we must oversight. Those are the things we must oversight. We know that even things cannot be done. Yeah. Yeah, we must go there.
You must monitor that. So I think that in that recommendation, I think that it must include the business selected, not all the projects, selected projects must be decided by the PD. But also at the same time, Chair, we know that the IRS is being phased out. I think that we must give the minister now some time, that within 4 months he must come and report back for us how far is the establishment of SAPA. Because it's been there for quite a long time. We must not have, she must report back to the to this court for looking how far is she with the establishment of SAPA, because we know that there are challenges around this. People can coin something around that line.
Okay, just to support the proposal of Honorable Hadiba, because it was one of the further recommendations that we were going to put forward. I think if we can tweak it, because we can marry it with the ARF and say, because we know that the ARF is being phased out, we'd want a progress report on that part. So it can flow from 12.1 to 12.1.1. as one of the recommendations, to say that within the next 3 months, the minister must come and bring the committee on the progress on SAPA. It's very important. And I guess, also, and support the recommendation as put forward in terms of selected. We would want to visit all, but it's impossible. So the word selected projects of the ARF. So recommendation one is carried.
Thank you. Sana? What
to advise? Please, Chairperson. Just say these recommendations are actually for the Portfolio Committee is recommending to the Minister to do certain things. So issues of the Portfolio Committee wishing to visit the sites where ARS projects are happening, it's not for the Minister. That is something which the committee will make recommendations internally. So I was just questioning that this recommendation, actually the preceding paragraph says, having considered the strategic plan and the budget of the department and its entity, the committee recommends that the minister should consider the following and report on progress within the campaign. So whatever the committee is going to recommend, it must be things that the minister, are within the powers of the minister to do.
So part 1 falls away.
So part 1, we can take the part which refers to oversight, I mean monitoring by embassies. That one, yes. But the one where the Portfolio Committee now wants to, it's not for the minister to decide on that one.
So what should we say?
The one for the committee should not even feature in this particular report to the minister. It's something that after the committee has discussed its legacy report, it's going to recommend to the powers that are in parliament. Yes. It's a progress for the committee. So now it's just recommendations to the minister to do certain things out of, you know, what transpired within the budget vote.
Let's hear the members.
Now
you are not yet recognized. Let's start with Honorable Kaila, and then you will follow Khalapa, and then Honorable Kwada also wants to. Kenya?
He is so keen to make the point. He's entitled to do it. Okay, so under 12.1, of course, now following the input, the recommendation or the proposal should be that the Portfolio Committee recommends that the Minister provide reports of the South African missions or embassies to the progress of the projects in their country. Then the second point that we discuss arising out of point one would be that the minister reports to the committee, the portfolio committee, and now within 3 months on the SAFA, the progress report. Yeah. I think that's it.
So you are covered? Okay. Honorable Kenny?
I think I'm a cover because I was going to talk about the time frame. Because sometimes when you say that it must be established to when, so that we know that, because sometimes we just say to be established as soon as possible. I'm covered by Honorable Katali. Thank you.
Honorable Katali?
Covered.
You're covered, Honorable Kota? Covered.
And I'm a bit concerned that it seems that we mustn't confine ourselves to giving instructions to the minister or the minister must have. The Constitution prescribes that we are the legislators. And when the work is being done, we can make a report to say that we have been a mission here, we have built that and all of that as well. But the portfolio committee, we, to the extent humanely possible, ought to be in a position to visit some of the projects that we consider to be very important to go and see with our own eyes that is happening. And we can't rely on the executive. The executive must do that. We must go and check when they report. Have they done what they said they were going to do? You know, obviously we can't go to visit each and every one of the projects, but there must be projects that we go and we write our own report, either confirming the report of the ministry or challenging it where it is not there. Otherwise, we're not monitoring it like that. Now, I say this because there's limitation, of course, financially to visit each and every project, but we must identify projects that we must address as a committee today. Now, we do think that certain such a project is very important. The report that, and we need to go and see whether this is happening as is indicated as well. And we can generalize from there, even with the others that the department is indeed doing what it's saying it is doing. So I wanted to make that point. So we mustn't confine ourselves to, we mustn't confine to just relying on the report. You see, this point 12.2, let me say, Judge Harrison. This point 12.2.
No. I think the intervention you were making on point 1 covers me, if I should speak for the chair. Because when she was saying that only to the minister, I thought that I still think that these recommendations are in the report that goes to Parliament. So the Parliament knows what we want. The Parliament, when a Parliament agrees with us, there are things that are binding on the minister, but there are things that Parliament, for instance, this oversight model, if it was restraining a certain thing, we then say, no, but Lord, Fumuye Malawi. Stay long, alone. Okay. There was a hand there, Ramuntani, apparently some Tunugele advocate, Mpumluani, and then. Uzoboyin. Muntani?
Thank you very much, Chair. I was going to say what you are saying, that it can't be that we are structuring the conditions only to the minister, because ultimately, the impact and the implications of the department are not only limited to the minister. So I think that is, we must be able to clarify how we craft the recommendation that covers both the legislative model as well as executive. But I think the other issue I just wanted to just say to Honorable Kalyan is to just add ARF at the beginning of the first recommendation. The third issue I want to raise is that if we are saying, and maybe not in our lifetime, in the 5 years, will this model be changed? But I'm not intimidated, Chair. So it's Chair, I'm saying that possibly the department has got some report on the work that has been done. So that we exclude the possibility of us not doing these visits in our lifetime. Honorable Lakota.
can we receive those reports, whether they are visit there, with his progress, what is happening on the road there and everything else, is there traffic and all of that, so that we can get a sense of where those, and from there, get a full report from the department as to what is the status of these projects. From there, say, we are going to now identify which one requires our intervention. But definitely I think that the two must be separated. The oversight visits to the project of ARF and the oversight model of Parliament must be two separate recommendations that we must deal with separately. Because we have two critical issues. Thank you.
So, Honor Khatev, you are closing. Okay, my still come back.
Alright, thank you, Chair. I think it was wrong of the report that it only gave the instruction to the minister. Because these are observations of this committee and its recommendation. Some of the work must be done by the president. The treasury officers must do that. Yeah. So that's why that as per the limitation of the oversight bodies, we must still link it here, that we must still say that the PC must visit selected. But that one is alright, it can be directed. But the PC must visit selected projects of the ARF. It must have as an independent recommendation. But then, the chair, it means that by making that recommendation, if the Parliament adopts this report, it will mean that the presiding officers will be obliged to ensure that this recommendation is implemented, then to go to the heart of the oversight model, which is wrong. Thank you.
Honorable Mkomlwana and Honorable. Yeah, Mkomlwana first and then Mai.
I think that the second.
No.
Well, on
the first one.
I think the second sentence is tied to the first sentence. And I think that it needs to be today as it is. Because this concerns relates to the addressing of the concern of monitoring. This monitoring must include this one. And I think that this is the main as it is. Everybody agrees. All the speakers agree within that. So that's what I'm saying, that it is not necessarily stand alone. It is just a continuation of it as it is, and whatever is put should be put underneath that. That's all.
Thank you. Honor Maila.
Thank you. Chair, I want to support the idea that the recommendation to stand as proposed, because in my opinion, the work of this committee is beneficial to the performance of the minister. And if there are limitations to this committee, they will also add to limitations to the minister. Therefore, I'm supporting the fact that the review of the oversight will actually be put as recommended.
Chairperson, our program of action has got to remain, or our calendar of action for the portfolio committee has got to stand separately from the report of the portfolio committee on the budget. The danger exists in terms of the rule of Parliament that if you put into a report that we are going to undertake oversight visits, the danger exists because of financial implications to Parliament and obligation that the report will merely be noted and not adopted, which then impacts on the action. The Minister will then not be compelled to act on an action if it is merely noted. So I would like to caution that we leave out the specifics in terms of we want to do oversight visits, what we could perhaps word, because this is very clumsily worded, what we could perhaps include is that following on the report, the portfolio committee may then consider visiting a specific project to exercise their oversight role. But if you're going to put it as a must-do, the report will merely be noted. It defeats the purpose then of what we are trying to achieve, which is getting the minister to act. We must get the report adopted for action.
Honourable, can we live with that? Okay. The second one was that the ECHO project of building centres abroad has to be informed and guided by political stability assessments and analysis of such countries. Cost effectiveness and due diligence, whether to buy or rent properties, also to be considered with a view to reduce costs related to lease accommodation. You remember what you were saying around this. Remember that in some countries we do own property. I was told that in some countries like France, we have our own property there, in some countries, Germany, but in other countries we are leasing. But even as we were discussing last week, we did say that in some countries you might be a state country, so be reluctant to purchase. Yeah, to purchase or build your own property, it would be better to lease. Well, of course, they're going to rip you off with regard to living. But because of the incessant instability in the nature of that country, you may feel that if anything happens here, I may have to move out. I don't want to leave my property here. So, in other words, things, building and other things would be done on a case-by-case study. So I'm not sure if this sentence reflects what is able to say. Can you take us on that one? No, let's get him up.
Sure, I think that can be
all right,
Kwata? You know, I'm reflecting on, I would assume that generally, the department is identifying various countries. They know that, you know, if we buy property in Somali, it's likely we are not, so they're not going to buy it. And so it seems to me that we are micromanaging, almost like micromanaging the department now. I think this must be left to the judgment of the department, which countries they feel, first of all, the intensity of interaction between ourselves and them so high, it requires we must do that. Are the conditions conducive for buying property? This is a done at the level of the department, and I don't know whether how helpful is what we are saying here. If not anything different from what the department has been doing, up until now, do we really need this recommendation?
Yes.
Thank you
very much, Chair. I agree with in principle the politics behind why it would be necessary for the department to have its freedom to decide. But here we are talking about the budget. How do we align the decision of the department, the intention of the department, within the constraint of the budget? So I agree that, yes, let the department have that freedom, but this recommendation must stay with the inclusion that the identification of which properties that are to be bought or leased must be done whether it is on a 5-year basis, but must be incorporated within and projected so we avoid the kind of negligence that the department has been exercising in terms of the budget. Thank you, Chair.
Are we not?
Yeah, I think I'm covered in terms of the wording that needs to be added to this particular statement, because I hear what Honourable Lekos has said. We don't want to micromanage the work of the ERCO, but at the same time, our responsibility is to see whether the money that they are using or investing is done properly. So the question to ask in 12.2 is why do we have that statement there? It's to see what implications such decisions are maybe impacting on the budget. So I think we have to be specific about what our intention is when we have such a recommendation.
Thanks, Honorable Kalyan, Honorable Dudley, and Honorable David Clothing.
Are we not then actually trying to say that we want a review of the present Chancery Board as to whether they are lining up with what they're supposed to line up with? Yes, so in other words, instead of repeating the obvious, that this is what the department's intended to do, we're actually saying we want to review whether the Chanceries we have do line up with the cost effectiveness, etc. So the wording has to change from telling them what they already know to saying we want you to check if you are lining up with what you already know. And we want to be able to see that in writing.
Mr. President, I still believe that this recommendation must stay empty. But if you remember very well, the issue of leasing and building is exercised by the Department of Public Works. And then when you look at page 14, there was the intervention from the treasurer that they must come with a funding model of the leases themselves or property. It is acquisition strategy for properties abroad. It shows that there is a problem there. But if we don't put it like this, it can remain a problem for the next 5 years. So once we put this recommendation, now it will have, by the time they come back next year, we want to know how far it will go here.
Okay, with the...
Then we should be saying, okay, in that clause, we should be saying, in keeping with the proposed funding model. And you have to say what to do.
Keeping with the proposed fund model. Okay, yeah. Thanks for the improvement. Let's go to number 3 and say and see if it says what it should say. Local municipalities and metros need to first seek DECO consent of authorization on agreements to be entered into between them and other local authorities abroad. Furthermore, training of local cities with the cities abroad, including agreements on cultural and economic and or trade arrangements, has always first, now I think something is not right now, they always have to seek the as opposed to seek not ratification but guidance, I think, and approval of that. We want ratification referred to Parliament. And approval of DECO as the DECO constitutional mandate vested in the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa under that section 13. This will ensure coordination and continuing practices of para diplomacy among spheres of government to prevent the risk of different foreign policy pronouncement. Now, in short, here, the issue around this is that there are many metros and districts that visit certain countries, particularly China, and they enter into agreements on a city-to-city basis or training arrangements that tie South Africa to those particular countries. Now, the operation is that some of these countries think that they cannot get through national government, through minister, or through parliament. They then invite or they themselves visit local municipalities and enter into agreements for 5 years or for 10 years on whatever arrangement without the benefit of the guidance of the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. Agreements that might be, I don't want to say advanced, but that may not necessarily advance the South African interest. In fact, those countries may get more out of South Africa or out of that local movement or that metro for themselves. And with due respect, the deployees there, the officials there, well, the mayor and the other people at that level may not possess the knowledge about certain diplomatic sensitivities or political sensitivities around certain countries that the president would have or the minister would have. You remember earlier on we were saying that, you know, the international situation is very volatile, and a metro does not know. They just get tied to that country, we're going to supply you with wood and coal and that and that, and then under the this circumstances, it may not be alright to enter into such a with that specific country. Something like that. That's what it tries to say, my subject to comment and improvement from the good side. Honorable Dudley?
Thank you. I agree with the reasons why it's necessary, sorry. But should we not perhaps add approval should not be refused without reasonable explanation in writing? Something that would be that it's not just a closed shop.
Okay.
Yes, but I think just exactly what if we say last thing I did and also clearance. So that because what is happening here, we find that most of them come here for their we are concerned also about the job creation. How many the guys are talking about some can say guidance and clearance. So that they don't make any MOUs without conducting anything. And also that, I don't know how to put it, maybe somebody can explain more. You find that when they're here, they just come for their own purpose. They don't even create jobs. And you know that when they come back here, they, even if they open those factories to you, for example, somebody making up about China cities, almost all over the country, you find that they're not job creation, and also when they make that, they have no contribution even in our, they take...
Not honorable formula. Your hand is almost tired now. You are not able to hang by here. Continue. I'm not able to come down. I'm going to look around this time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, continue, sorry.
The reason why I'm saying this, because that's also what you say, they must come to Africa, they must come back. They must come with something to help South Africans, not only to come for their own needs. But even, you find that even their finances, they take the back to their country, so there's no producing. Even if, I don't know how to put it, even if they come, they get that, the clearance is done, but there must, something, there must be something that binds them to help South Africa in whatever way. Well, either for job creation, as you said, that you've got the high rate of unemployment, so that they, because what they do, they come with their staff there. They don't come alone and get stuff from us. They come and their staff here, and with their belongings here, and then they go back with their money. And they, so we find that we don't even really benefit. So I think, I don't know how to, you must have something to say on when really, this, if they understand this guidance, but also, the stamp must be drawn to these municipalities or these municipalities so that they don't take them to be here. There must be something that completes what are you doing, going to do for some African so that they gain something from you. Thank you.
Thanks,
Chair. Chair, I think I support the recommendation as it is with the addition that they shouldn't be just a the recommendation would be a means of just restricting what it was said by the other honorable member. But also, Chair, to add that maybe we need to review the existing what we call it. So that where the detection that something wrong could be happening, then those things could be sorted out.
Well,
that a new proposal that we must review. We were thinking that going forward they must check with, but that inspection, checking out what was happening, what could happen in the future. Honorable Mumlon?
Yes, I just wanted to comment on what Honorable Dudi has said and Honorable May. That we need to have one foreign policy for a country, and one policy should be through the Department of Foreign Affairs. Therefore, it is important that you can't use the word, for example, not reasonable, because that word is subject to many interpretations. I can say it's not reasonable. Who takes the reason? Who decides on what is reasonable? So it has to be the department that decides. So if we say without the guidance and approval, it's correct. Then let the department do that. I think it is the confusion that allows that department to do that. So therefore, with what we're doing, we're trying to say people, it can't be free for all. You can't decide, now I decide to pay me that price for advice. Otherwise you have different countries dictating to different municipalities because they will give money. What must be done? It will be in their own interest. I think we need to keep that clause as it is. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think Chair, this is speaking to a higher challenge around adapting policy formulation. So there are two recommendations that must be made. One, in terms of the minister. How does the minister improve or strengthen the coordination within the department? I was trying to make a reflection with the secretary around where coordination takes place. Our recommendation must not ask for something that is not possible. If there is no provincial structures that speak to the Department of International Relations, how then do we call for the implementation of coordination of visits, etc.? So I think that our recommendation must be able to speak to one, saying, for example, we've been speaking about a performance monitoring unit. How are we integrating? Because I hear what honourable members are saying, but how are we integrating the economic benefits, the employment benefits, and all other benefits internationally that are available to the country? And how are we coordinating that? It's not just the simple thing of saying that Mukhalakuna, there's one mayor that is there that is going to China and getting whatever there. But I think it's a higher issue of what other relationships that exist between the states and how are we able to control that from that point. That is one. But also to say that the impact on in terms of integration between the national function and provincial functions are lacking in terms of this particular coordination. And then what infrastructure, that's the second part, what infrastructure in the department exists, whether it is, I'm just now thumbsucking, the DG's performance monitoring unit, that is able to say every time there is something, who then does a province or a municipality report to? I think that is the thing. You know what this reminds me of? Is the fact that you have a depleting budget in program 4. I wanted to raise it earlier as well. It says that the more budget seems to be depleting in terms of program 4, where there must be wider knowledge and understanding around issues of public diplomacy and what our stance is on foreign policy. Someone was talking about how many different foreign policies do we have. The more the budget is depleting. And what impact is that having, not only in terms of communicating our message, but having a consistency of understanding within government. I think that for me is the point I wanted to raise. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for your weighty contribution. Before Mukhalaba Oboya, I advise
or a certain input from Omar Heaven on the Mossad. And before Nenzahan, I just want to say one or two things. The minister once undertook an outreach program to provinces. I don't know what she said in other provinces, trade minister. But she did say in Mpumalanga that China were complaining at the time that it was flooded with many South African local unit parties coming to stay to make arguments almost on the same matter. This week they are receiving a metro or a province from Eastern Cape. Next week it's in the ball for the following week is Western Cape. And aware, because each of these mayors are not aware that the other one was there. And they slightly say different things about investment into their municipalities, etc., etc. And she was saying some of the agreements are likely to violate, or not to be in sync with our foreign policy positions with regard to trade, because a mayor or the officials there are not aware, not because, you know, and all that. The other country could be, if I should use the word silly, they could be silly, take advantage of that local municipality and want to tie them to a particular argument. But that example is that when I was the MEC for Human Settlements in Bumala, in a municipality called Tabatre, an agreement was signed between that municipality and some province or city in China. Regarding building of houses, and then it says they will put in 4 million. They did not assist that municipality. They brought in their own engineering. That was in the agreement. But when I challenged, I said, no, but how did you find this thing? They showed me that, the agreement. They brought their own TLBs and this, I don't know machine they but their own TLBs, then they brought their own labor. They were solving their own problem. Now Tabacho is Leidenberg and other cities there. Almost everything was done by them. If their money, that money then services, pays their own employees. In fact, there was nothing for that municipality. Of course, ultimately, those and something houses were built, but there was nothing for that municipality. So, I do take the point that there are weaknesses. So, there is a need for coordination and to check with the department by the metros and local municipalities. I don't know, what are your experiences, Masebe? What's your advice?
Normally, the section 231 in the Constitution, international agreement.
231?
Yes. Which clearly states that only members of the national executive can enter into a binding legal agreement, international agreements. Therefore, as the custodian of foreign policy and relations of this country, even managed by the Constitution, there is intergovernmental directorate under the protocol which is handling cooperations or relations of provinces and local government of South Africa and the international counterpart, which I think mainly, most of them, they don't go via that, they just go on their own. And also lack of capacity is the cause that, the advanced partner that side will be the one using this one who is not advanced, sort of, it's not, there's not no national interest are met from our side, it's them coming to do that, using the Type 8. When I was still in France as a diplomat, we used to get some requests from municipalities and provinces saying we are coming, we want to come and do a fact-finding mission or this and that and that. Sometimes you ask them, can you unpack fact-finding mission, because there's nothing called fact-finding mission. Unpack so that when we go, we as embassy will be responsible to go and interact with the local provinces or whatever. You'll find sometimes people don't have that capacity. And most of them, they enter into them and they end up not servicing those things because of lack of capacity. Some, they just feel they just want to talk. And one of the countries which, on top of China, which complain in Brazil. Mm. Everybody goes to Brazil for funding mission.
Really?
The goal is either tall or whatever, or maybe it was an initial year.
Wait, wait. Tell me, what is the department, or what is it doing about this? Has something been done by the department?
They've produced a guideline document, which I think we finalized a year ago. But it needs maybe given teeth by the Parliament through the Protocol Committee. If we can obtain that document, we go through it and see how we can empower that to make it work.
Now, just before you are off stage, you say Section 231 says only members of the executive. Now, the likelihood is that the members of the executive at national level will defer to the Minister of Foreign Affairs for certain arrangements to be made. But if the Metro Mayor not also executive, I know well, it says Nama.
Yeah.
Is that what it says? Are you taking it now?
Chapter 14, page 183. The international agreement, the negotiating and signing of international agreements is the responsibility of the national executive. Full stop.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for the advice.
Thank you, Chair. Just to maybe give a little bit of background, and also talk to what Mr. Matade has just said. This problem of municipalities and provinces conducting activities of international nature came to the committee prominently at the end of last year when they presented their annual report. And they referred to the fact that cabinet decided that measures should be taken. Hence, that guideline was developed by the department. Now, the department's request to the committee on this issue was that they are struggling to actually have these guidelines implemented. They are struggling to contain the coordination, which is rightly within their purview. So they were actually been asking the committee to, in their outreach programs, if they are able to reach out to municipalities and provinces to actually, you know, also help the department so that this is understood on the ground, that this is actually the mandate of the department and that coordination is needed. So what is the problem at the moment is that the guidelines exist, but the structure that are supposed to actually comply with it are not doing so. So the department is faced with this kind of problem, and they were actually asking the committee to also assist.
Now, I noted Mr. Mokalapa's hand, and I want to put a question so that what is the comment. We have a particular advantage as the fifth parliament, the Portfolio Committee of the fifth parliament, right at the beginning, to deal with this weakness. For the next 5 years, perhaps if we are able to make a recommendation that can assist, it can assist the whole country. Shouldn't we say that the department must convene an inner of all the municipalities to invite all the mayors and walk them through all trade-related, whatever. The administrative department can facilitate, but then they can call the trade attachers and many people who are important in that area of work for a day or two, walk the mayor through workshops, and then see what happens from there. Mm-hmm. Can we speak to also that kind of a recommendation if you are comfortable? Honorable Mukhalapa?
Chair, I think you've summed it up very well. I think the workshop and Mindawa is the way to go. But just tying what Mama was saying and with Honorable Musan, what they say, I think it's one issue, is to make sure that our domestic imperatives are aligned with our international imperatives.
Yeah.
That is what we need to tweak it to put to it. It's just an alignment. Because the point you are making is very important, that when we enter into disagreements, what value does it bring for our domestic imperatives, which is very important. And I think Honorable Nkrumah was speaking to that, also with the issue of strengthening and enhancing public diplomacy. So it might be tweaked with your proposal, Chair, of an Indaba and a workshop with a view of strengthening public diplomacy. This is it's a very, very broad issue. I don't think we're going to finish it off today. In fact, we need a workshop on it, because it's got also intergovernmental relations issues on its own. And it's a thorny issue. And para-diplomacy has always been giving us a headache on how do we proceed and making sure that it's being arrested. Because we even got reports from Brazil, Mr. Marcelo is right. They were writing letters to say, and saying, how do you regulate this? You know, we had 5 cities from your country coming here in one day, and all of them were just requesting different things. And it goes to the foreign policy imperative of South Africa. And much of the other problem is the issue of the trade relations that we enter into. That is why the workshop must include trade and industry, because of they are doing their own thing in terms of trade. And remember, in terms of the constitution, International Relations Committee or Department is the one that is the custodian of all bilateral agreements.
Chair, I'm afraid I want to make this intervention. This committee is supposed to have set from 9:30 until 1:00, and we have to adopt a report.
Yes.
I think that we have overlevered on one point for quite a long time. So there are certain investors that initially said that we have to refer them to the program of the committee. Take for example the issue of para-diplomacy. It must not only involve the municipalities, even the members of parliament themselves, they must be educated. Because some foreign organizations, they come and get a lot of information in parliament which was not supposed to be issued. So this thing is broad, but I think that the gist of this revolution is that the Zelkomas will show of leading the foreign policy of the country. I think that's the bottom line. The DELCOM has really job in leading the foreign police of the country. And then we leave it at that shop in the room.
That's not a silver again, a silver point. Okay, number four. Introducing a deliberate policy requirement that all officials of DELCO and office and missions abroad undergo economic diplomacy training and reorientation program. This will ensure that economic diplomacy forms the basis for aligning foreign policy to domestic priorities. Earlier on, I said that the kind of agreements we're making now are actually improving trade relations within the African continent and within the South. So, and therefore, it's enhancing economic diplomacy. So, our missions abroad should actually make sure that our relations enhance foreign direct investment and trade, etc. But it deals with all of this. Can you speak to that? All of that is?
Suggestion, because it possibly is policy really that we actually say introducing a deliberate policy and implementation strategy to ensure all officials of DERCA head office missions, etc. So that we're not just talking about a policy, we're talking about an implementation strategy to get them.
So, we're fine now. Number five?
We are fine. I'm not sure if we should include the in line with the NDP, because that's what the NDP prescribes.
In line with the NDP.
Okay. May I just...
Hey, Len?
Yeah, I know it's semantics, but I just wanted to ask, what does the word deliberate mean in this context? You know, are we saying it's mandatory, it is minimum standard? What are we saying with the word deliberate?
We can just say policy.
Just policy, Okay,
we'll respond to that. Number five, advancing a developmental integration agenda in Southern Africa, combining trade integration, infrastructure development and sector policy coordination. The integration of SADC remains critical for the economic development of the region and for South Africa's global competitiveness. That is what we do.
Sector policy coordination, you talk about para diplomacy or it's straightforward, I can say. But sector policy coordination, are we meaning all 3 years or one particular project sector policy?
Speak to the mic.
My understanding would be that it involves all of the different spheres. Yes. So that the coordination must happen at all those levels. That would be my take on that.
Thank
you.
If we are, you see, sector policy coordination could mean anything. Could be trade sectors, it could be the financial sectors, whatever. But we are referring specifically here to the 3 spheres of government. So it should say governmental sector policy coordination.
Governmental
sector policy.
Yeah.
So we're missing a bunch of. They were not speaking about South Africa. We're speaking about Southern Africa. So what does that entail? This issue of sector policies. You can refer to the fact that but the issue of the railroad. You know, the transport. In the transport. Take for example, when you move from one country from South Africa, a truck can take so many tons. Offload. But when you enter Zambia, sometimes we have to get rid of certain tanks up because it does not comply, but it's within Southern Africa, within the so I think it's Southern Africa. I think
it's not
Southern
Africa.
Are okay?
I don't think we are uncovering about the weight of country. Country, therefore, state fast track because it's already there, fast track privatized that way because it is already there. But that to fast track it, I don't know, that's the wording about saying advancing the development of education. Why don't we say fast track?
Agreed.
I would caution on that, and I'll tell you why. Because it can't really fast track our country. It's part of that, and we don't know like to position ourselves as imposing on other countries.
So we're living advancing. Okay, and we also give the sector the last two is speedily financing finalizing the processes of providing the Pan African Parliament with its own headquarters as agreed to in the host agreement with the African Union.
As you will know, I will always raise the Pan African Parliament issue as a past member. Now, and actually, we are squatting there at the moment at Parliament. But seriously, I mean, the Department of Public Works is responsible for the headquarters, as in the report. So if we are leaving this only with the Department of International Relations, I think it's incomplete. We should say, what was my word in it? In consultation with the Department of Public Works.
Great. The last one is...
Sonia, I just ask something because I unfortunately jumped in and out of this committee study.
Yes.
Is it budget?
Okay. Mr. Salim, in consultation with public one.
No.
The last one is directing the performance monitoring unit in the director general's office to feed the committee with performance reports on a regular basis. Yes, let's just take a concern. She's on the floor.
Any other addition from any other honourable member?
Thank you.
All fair points. One thing we haven't had a
record. Which point are we speaking to? 3.7.
The non-existing next point.
Oh.
So, I'm just suggesting that communicating our message locally and internationally is something that we've mentioned, and it is obviously important to us, but we don't make any recommendation there, so it sounds like we're happy with what we're doing.
Just a moment. You are proposing 3.8.
Yes.
Okay. Can that be your thoughts there?
The one thing that's on my mind is, for example, that I know that the department has moved into social networking, and that should be great, except that I've tried to use that to inform my constituents. First of all, I can't find it under the name of international relations, but secondly, you can't share or retweet. So what I'm saying is, there's some great moves in that direction, but it's not actually helping. We can't help get that message out. So I'm just wondering if perhaps we could ask the committee to look at what is the shortfalls in terms of communicating our message locally, and we could recommend in line with that. Because we as a committee even are not able to help with that function.
I think what Honourable actually is speaking to is the notion of public diplomacy.
Yeah.
That's what we say. So I think we can't just say the committee recommends that the department strengthen the public diplomacy and capacitate it more. I'm not putting it out of framework, but we can put it in a nice English. But the issue at hand is strengthening our public diplomacy.
Perhaps the kind of review or investigation into the effectiveness of what is in place in terms of the public diplomacy, because we want them to pick up the shortfall, because it's a good thing, but they're not working at this point. So we want some kind of relook at whether what is in place is being effective. So I think that the committee would be able to put that in words.
Let's try and do a proposal that the department identifies the shortfalls, especially in respect of public diplomacy and IT, and that it comes up with a strategy to address those shortfalls.
Within
September?
Within
the next
3 months.
And perhaps we should include over there, given that social networking is a very effective tool that the as you said, you can get that.
Because when they come back to us,
we can put it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm confused about that point. I'm trying to check the committee back if there's results. Shortfalls, we know that the issue is the budget in terms of public flow. And what are we saying about what is the, maybe we should ask for the presentation of what is the vision of public diplomacy, and look at how the budget is constraining its vision, and then be in a position, rather than to assume from the onset that public diplomacy has shortfalls because of its own lackings, is why we are discussing budget. I'm just trying to keep our discussion streamlined to the issue of the budget, as opposed to having a big strategic discussion, which we said we are still going to have at some other point. Thank you, Chair.
No. I think the point, let the point be taken that was made by
more tightly, and it was refined by the honourable member. It is that it is the responsibility of the ECO to ensure that I think the diplomatic list, in my view, is two pronged. One is that within the African continent and internationally, and within the South African public, they must know what our positions are in terms of this, with regard to certain countries, certain structures, where do we stand. Our people must know. But the other one is branding the country to the international media, to many other fora internationally. So, you are correct in the last one that perhaps it has some challenges, but that it has challenges does not stop efforts of the committee, that certain things would happen. When we engage with the department, then we can come to that. That's why, for me, the time frame was not necessary for me. If we say they must tell us within 3 months, it's fine, but it's on an ongoing basis, because every country, every nation would like to say to the world, we are there and they will have this uniqueness, visit us with the following cultural heritage, whatever it is they want to market about themselves, brand themselves to them. If you don't do that, then people will even promise to go to elsewhere. Yeah, so that was 12.8. And then the last thing there was in... Yeah.
I want to propose 12.9.
Yeah, you?
I think for me the issue that stands out that is not clearly reflected in the recommendations is compliance of the department with TFMA. And also to include what was just recently brought to our attention around the issue of the constitution. So finding a way of saying that the department must comply, or there must be a strong compliance of the department with the PMMA, and also to encourage the department to communicate that all other structures of government comply with these constitutional obligations around the department's mandate, in particular reference to the point that was made by the parliamentary liaison officer. Thank you very much.
Well,
take care.
Yes.
Chair, I think that is, I don't think it's on record. The department does comply with the TFMA. That's why the Auditor General has not given it a disclaimer or an adverse letter. It has given an unqualified audit with matter of emphasis. So we cannot be strong that the department is not complying with the TFMA. It has. That one for half 6 years it has been doing that. We cannot distort that here.
I will then say in Qatar if we insert this formulation, a recommendation, it suggests that we are saying that the department has things that are not in compliance. Whether they will be in compliance. She's not criticizing it by saying the department has not. But that it is marked. Yeah, come back.
I still maintain that chair. The issue as to the compliance with the TFMA is the reserve of the Auditor General. So the Auditor General is the one whose opinion must respect him. And the Auditor General for the past 6 years has given an unqualified audit. Which is good, with the matter of emphasis there and there. So we cannot, one of the issue of the constitution, I can agree with that, but that one of the SMA said we cannot.
It's fine, Chair. Allow me to then rephrase.
No, wait a minute, because you were the proposer.
Yeah.
Let them rephrase your thoughts around that, Mukhala.
Yes, definitely, it's a constitutional imperative, but it's the domain of the Auditor General. It's not our domain. And if you recall last week, the Deputy Minister was asked this question deliberately, that does the department comply with TMA? And he said, by all means. In fact, if we don't do that, it's illegal. So he's made that pronouncement. And I think it's just a constitutional imperative, but it's not our domain, the Auditor General domain. As long as we know that there are material concerns of ICT that the Auditor General has raised in the report. So I think it's something that we can take up with the department.
Montami?
Chair, let me rather say, because I see where I may have wanted to contest with the Tadena of the Auditor General, but as a concern, in terms of the recommendation speaking directly to what was presented, that to urge the Minister to ensure that there is a due consideration in terms of overspending and underspending of the department, if that can then be the case. Look, I hear the issue, and I think that it's not something we must run away from. Because if we are not going to raise that, or even then to make a recommendation to go a step further, it is not indicting the department chair. It is cautioning the department. Even if that is not the case then, I'm going to just keep posing until I... Then let's go then one step further, chair, to say that, because this is really where I think, the recommendation of the committee will find expression around the issues that were raised prior when it came to the treasury. What are we expecting? How do we now force the hand of the minister to interact with treasury on the issues that have been raised around overspending, around this current issue? These are issues that are going to be asked in any case in the budget debate. I'm just saying if the committee wants to turn a blind eye to it, it's fine. But we are going to have to meet it at some point or another. Why can't we place this so that we safeguard ourselves with the minister to say at some point, you are having a recurring problem, how do we address it? I'm just saying this is my concern. Can find a way of putting it as part of the recommendations to the minister. Force the minister, whether it is this meeting with the treasury at center to resolve these issues and give guidance in terms of overspending and underspending in the department. Thank you.
Well, I thought that Honorable Kota had spoken to this issue earlier on when he was saying, in a department like this, you cannot avoid overspending under certain circumstances. Perennially, by the way. So I thought he was sitting at and he went to town and giving the explanation. And I think part of your concern was also taken care of when we discussed the ARF. Earlier on, except the fact that to market a report. So I thought it was taken care of. But I see there are one or two hands just to tie it up. Umla?
No, I think you have just covered me. I think the reason is that when you clean yourself
every day,
you don't have to say this clean up. That's it. I think that you need to keep this front of you with the quarterly that you propose and get on with the adoption of this budget.
Okay.
Thank you.
Umlan, your last part is not audible, it's just for the language.
I was just saying, no, let's leave it.
No, I'm just alerted to a page here, Honorable Monsami, page 14 of the report. And just before number 8, page 14. It's under the topic implementation of cost containment measures. And you remember last time I was saying containment is a different nomenclature for me. I'm used to containment. Now it says the department has held discussions with Treasury regarding its foreign currency related operations and a number of measures to be further explored in order to cap costs that have been identified. This would include foreign exchange mechanism, review of appointments of locally recruited personnel, utilization of technology in conduct of foreign policy, and a funding model or acquisition strategy for property support abroad. So it's there.
I want to say that it's there, just like it is there, and it covers 12.1. But we don't know what the outcomes of those meetings are. If it is there, then can we not request, because it is a recommendation that you're asking for? I'm saying this because it must be consistent, Chair. It is like 12.1 is also covered by page 14 under containment of cost measures. So too on that issue of what has been raised around the budget. Because it's a discussion on the budget, why is it not that we make a recommendation to draw the minister's attention that the committee take this matter seriously and we at least need some kind of feedback on the issue? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, members will speak to us. Honourable Kenya. Honourable, you are on the floor.
The problem I have here, according to what has been announced before, there is no sign here of qualified report. Therefore, I don't know why are we insisting that much help is. There's no qualified report. There's already an unqualified report, whatever, what you say, but what we get here. So why are we now insisting to put that, noting that also we said we're going to have monitoring and review. So I don't know why you can quote this point, especially that we agree here that they comply by the effect of having that unqualified report. That is basically the government is complying to the PNA. So I don't understand why. Thank you, Chairperson. So it's a concern.
Honourable Khadere, you are supposed to that member.
Chairperson, with respect, I think the majority of the people have indicated that they don't need that law, and they want that recommendation. I think that's what the Honourable Kami can do. As the department is becoming with the first-hand report, engage them and then move forward with the political. So, I propose that we conclude this thing because I think one also is around the corner. So we don't have...
Okay. Honourable okay. So we have touched on 8 recommendations. Eh? Can I hear you on the proposal? Honourable Kenya?
On 12.1, again, now that we have passed this now, now that one is clarity, now that we are saying AR is just going to phase out, what are we saying about this? When we are saying that we want the department to tell us whom to send, and also we say, well, what are we saying therefore? Is it sectoral arrangement, or we are going to see when SACPA is on to see that this month again? Because I worry that this monitoring will be just done just for ARF, which is just going to face around the corner.
No. What was said is that it is ARF stroke SACPA. So that when ARF, what for now, you have ARF. And whatever you're making, doing that with a living enema, when it phases out and phases in, SACPA, then yeah. So it's in and out. Can I hear you?
I propose that the committee adopt this report with the amendments which was made in the current petition.
Is there a second now? The Honorable Khadere. Okay, second up?
Yes, I do.
Honorable Advocate Bumla. Seconded by Honourable Dudley, voted by Honourable Maila, no objection. So, it means, therefore, just by way of budget process, ne, that she walked up to the other day, this budget will go to publication in the ATC on Friday, as directed.
Submitted today, it will appear tomorrow.
Yeah. Now, we have inserted some, we have redirected some formulations, but then it must come from me, not from you straight there, so that I can check when it says my sentiment to the members, just before you come back there. And I will...
I just wanted to say, because of now we got to go to the budget phase. Say the DA, we support the report as we have
trusted it. However, what we are saying is that in terms of the budget, we would request a disclaimer because the caucus is the one that approves the budget. So we would abstain on supporting the budget because of, we still have to, we have our rights in terms of it. Because of that, to present it to the to the caucus. But in terms of the court, that is that we support the court. But the budget, we reserve our right because we have to submit it to the caucus. But I think it should be whether it's that.
No. What is now left is the adoption of committee minutes. The committee meeting is on the 25th June 2014. Okay. Let's just deal with that so that we are done. The minutes of the Portfolio Committee on International Relations are covered on the 25th June, 10 o'clock, committee on that. Those were the members who attended. They were remarked by the chairperson, there were introductions and remarked by the chairperson in consideration of the committee program. I think what happened here on this specific day was that we, through the facilitation of the secretary, we elected the chair of the committee. Can I hear you on that one?
Yes. That's correct. Yeah. Are you proposing for a move?
Yes, of the adoption of the...
Oh, okay, I move on. Adoption of the...
Okay. Madam Khatem. Second set of the minutes. Is on the minute of the 2nd July 2014 and the issues that came before the committee there, attendance register, just check that, it has not omitted anybody. Again, I think this minutes are, I think this page are straightforward. Can I hear you?
Chair, just a small amendment at the adoption of the budget, again, to say that the DA reserves its right. So if they can just include it.
Okay. Item 4, recommendations of the commission. We would like the DA's deliberation to be recorded.
No, wait, it's number 4 now. Was it raised on that specific day? I thought that
remember the minute, there's the minute, and that's what we are putting forward. And if you recall, Honorable Hadev, when he moved that, he said, obviously, what was the presentation? I think I said, okay. And we did not do so. So this is what we are saying. Because of the minutes are coming now, we've got to make a reflection and say, we reserve the right.
Okay. Can I hear you? But I think ultimately we must reserve.
You must just say, retrospect. They did not object in that case. So I don't, the minutes are correct.
So what?
No.
The
minutes are correct. What your question is, where the minutes reflect what happened? And the minutes do reflect what happened. What you want to do is to say, despite our agreement on that thing, we have changed our mind. And we respectfully request that can you please say, otherwise we'll have it, we'll be the hot water with our caucus. Can we please, request the committee to change the minutes of it. They did not report for that. Thank you very much.
This is supposed, this reflection is supposed to come to 8 minutes, that they intend, they intend to be, because it was informal when it's supposed to go on and color. So there's a, but there's nothing.
Well, I agree, that today the 9th,
the view of the DA was that Kalama, what they are saying? Of the same view. Oh, I didn't hear anything. Can I hear you?
Yes, Chair. I was trying to get your attention, but you're still resolving on the issue of the 99%. As I was saying, Chair, that indeed it's the same view of the ESF that we deserve the right on the budget.
Okay.
From
today.
I think I want to just remind the meeting of the last meeting when the budget was presented. And we said that we were going to receive, and it's one of the reasons why, the issue of the Honourable Holomisa as well as the quota that was raised around the ARF report amongst other things that were going to give effect to the budget. And we said that those things would be taken into consideration in the next meeting. But we don't want to raise those things again. It is the spirit of the meeting where it was presented, it was wrapped up, and thereafter the chair closed to say this budget has been adopted as we were packing to leave the meeting. So I don't think that there was a consensus without the consideration of the fact that the meeting had to resolve as it did today with a report in front of the chair. I thank you.
Well, I think you have had the benefit of the caucus of the party, and you got a new mandate after that meeting. But not that either the DA or the EFF on that specific day said what you are saying today. But we would respect your right as a party to say what you're saying today, but of course. Can I then request for the adoption of the minutes? Oh, okay.
I was not present at that meeting. But I would seek clarity from the chair. Was the question formally put to the meeting that you adopt the budget? And if so, how could that be that you arrived at a decision when only today we are considering the report? Can you give me clarity on that?
Yeah, it was formally put to the meeting. Because what I have said is that we have received presentations, we have had an engagement with a department, and we see how much money is allocated to the department. And at that point, it was the first presentation, and they were going to have an engagement as a PC with a view to make our recommendations to the ECCs so that we can table this report by the 9th. So the question was put to the meeting by the chair. And to the extent that I remember, nobody raised an objection, nobody said FA party, this is what I was saying. My sense is that perhaps following caucus meetings of different parties, certain positions have been taken, and that is what we are hearing today.
No,
Hassan.
No, sir, I propose that we adjourn this meeting so that we can specifically can go and see. Or the issue of announcement that we finish this.
Okay, can I get a move?
Can I move that the minutes be adopted as they are?
Good, thank you. Announcement, let's get the announcement with the document from the press. Announcement, there is an invitation, can you read the invitation?
Thank you, Chair. The invitation is written as follows. The department will be hosting a conference of all head of missions during August 2014. The meeting brings together all heads of missions from 126 nations in 109 countries. The main objectives of the conference are to be informed of the expression of the NDP vision for 2030 in the MTSS 2014-2019, as endorsed by the cabinet. Point two, it is also to determine the role of South Africa's foreign policy and that of the missions in advancing South Africa's national priorities, particularly the African agenda and global governance. And the third objective is to collectively reflect on the June 2014 State of the Nation Address and focus areas for the MTSS 2014-2019. The fourth objective is to acquaint heads of mission with the new governance and administrative requirements in light of the constricted economic environment in which ECO has to operate. So the bottom decision that the department has to invite the committee to attend. The event will be held on the 25th to the 29th of August.
Yeah, this is an announcement. Pretoria.
In Pretoria. Yeah, go ahead.
No. What I will do, I will just write one line to the invitation directed to me. Just one line that honor member find attached an invitation from DECO. Then we'll put it in your pigeon hole. And then what members must do if you happen to attend, to indicate, to indicate, I don't know whom you must indicate so that the department knows that from the PC the Golden people will be coming. Want to speak to them?
Honorable Chair, I don't think that we can be able to commit the members now. Because we don't know the program of when we come back after the budget. I think that 2 weeks before that time, it must be retabled here so that we see whether we can be able to coerce the committee. Because it's not individual. It is, the invite is the committee, the PC. So we depend upon the program of the PC and of finalists. But I think that 2 weeks before that time, the secretary must retable it to us there so that we take the decision accordingly.
Are you saying that if, for instance, there is a program here in Parliament that does not allow Honourable X and to go, the other Honourable members who are part of the committee cannot go? I have thought that they can or they may go to the extent that they are part of the PC. Okay. It will come back. Yes.
I propose you just stick to the honourable member. Why did we wait for 2 weeks before the date? There's logistics, there's flights, there's hotel bookings. So the invitation has been extended, and she was today, give us 7 days to respond. And if we can go, we can go. If we can't, go to our luck.
Okay. Let the matter be closed with that. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
You send me that one. I want also.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, now it is.